The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. To the masters. Break it down.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in, but you should use that for the text line. We're not going to be able to take any calls today. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Johnny Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And missed any of the first hour as we are live from Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay talking about Cotto Alvarez. Well, guess what? All available on podcastarena.com. Go check it out. And a couple of interviews there, including one of our usual oddities with Bernard Hopkins. So if you want to go back and listen to that, the first person that can tell us exactly what that was about.
Yeah, but good luck. It's not going to work.
You win nothing, but... Oh, those are nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you don't win anything, but oh well. And talked a little bit of mentioned the Texans briefly, Rockets a little bit. Did not get to the Astros. And actually, somebody asked a good question before we get to that. With the eight starting, are the Jets a good defense to stream in fantasy?
I would think
football?
So. Yeah, absolutely.
I think so.
Jets
too.
Are a good defense to run regularly, and I think this week it's no different. Here's the thing that the Jets do. The Jets shut down the run, first of all, which is and listen, that's not a big deal against the Texans because everybody shuts down the run against the Texans.
Absolutely.
The other thing they do is they take away your best receiver. And as good as DeAndre Hopkins is, I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is going to go out and embarrass Revis this weekend. You know, especially with T.J. Yates at quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, Sammy Watkins was able to do it, but he's a different kind of receiver.
So
he's
well, and he also doesn't have T.J. Yates throwing to him.
Right.
So when you take those things away, what are you leaving for a young, inexperienced, relatively quarterback to go with? I mean, your tight ends are terrible.
Yep.
Your secondary receiving has been inconsistent at best. I think the Jets are defensively in a really good spot this week. Now, will the Jets be able to score? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a question. But what I think they do with Yates is a lot of what we saw at times on Monday night with Hoyer and Yates is a lot of play action rollout, try to hit the tight ends in short passes and try to hit the slot receiver in short passes. And I think that's their best method of winning. But having said that, I can't see them scoring a lot of points against this Jets defense. And they may not turn it over, but they're not going to score much. So, yeah, not a bad call. All right, a little Astros discussion that got your interest.
Yeah, something came up that I guess it was up yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to break into it. But apparently the Astros were one of the teams in the conversations to trade for Atlanta first baseman Freddie Freeman, who is very good, first of all. He's under contract until 2021, and it's like $118 million, which is
a lot, but not.
I mean, relatively, that's
crazy.
Fair.
Yeah.
You know, it's fair market value for the guy, and we're not sure now. Of course, now that the trade didn't go through, the Braves are saying they've got no interest in trading Freddie Freeman.
Right.
But the fact that he was out there is interesting to me, and reportedly, and I'm trying to find out what prospects the Braves were asking for. I can't seem to find that anywhere. I'm going to have to talk to someone who's got the inside scoop. But the Astros didn't want to give up certain prospects, and I don't know what prospects there would be then I'm not willing to give up for that kind of bat in the middle of my lineup. Like, what? I mean, obviously you're not giving up Correa. That's
right.
ridiculous. But what prospects, minor league prospects, could they possibly be
looking at that you're saying
no chance?
I guess I need more details because do you consider Lance McCullers a prospect at this point, or do you consider him a major leaguer?
I think he's a major leaguer.
Yeah, I do too. But that would be a name that would make me say, wait a minute.
From what I understand, the asking price was like four minor league prospects. And, again, I'm still struggling to find the names. If I get them, I'll let everybody know, and that'll really form my opinion. But I don't know what minor leaguers, what guys aren't on the team right now that the Astros can't possibly do without. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially when you can get a guy like that. 26 years old. You get that guy.
Yeah, if you can. I mean, I don't know.
He had a down year last season where he hit 276 with 18 home runs. Hmm. Poor guy.
Yeah.
370 on base percentage.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't. Yeah, you know, I don't. I'd have to know what the cost is because it's. I mean, I'm not one of those that's going to say automatically trade your four best prospects for a guy like that.
No, I'm not saying that either.
So I don't know, but I'd have to know what it was.
We'll see.
Yeah, I can't just blanket have an opinion on it without knowing who was involved.
Okay.
But man, that'd be a nice guy to get. I mean, he pretty good on-base percentage.
But you can agree the Astros don't have any minor league prospects that you would consider untouchable.
No, I mean, I don't know who would be. And the guys.
Like Correa was untouchable.
Yeah.
And he should have been.
The guys they just drafted.
I don't even think they should be untouchable. They're prospects.
They are. They're all pretty good prospects. I don't know how good. But, I mean, if that's what they wanted, all three of your picks and A.J. Reed. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's too much. It's hard to have. It really is hard to have any kind of opinion by just speculating on what they might have offered. And saying, well, you give up anything. Well, I don't know that that's the case. So, and I don't know how serious Atlanta was about it either.
That's true.
It may have been one of those things where they float him and say, hey, what are you willing to give up? But anyway. Yeah, and Mark mentioned Watkins had three catches. I have no idea what I was thinking about there. I was watching a highlight from the Revis getting beat by somebody, and I could have swore it was Sammy Watkins, and it wasn't. So.
Dude, Revis isn't even like top 100 in yards allowed this year.
Yeah.
And that's pretty difficult when you're a starting cornerback who's out there all the time.
Yeah.
Not even top 100 in yards against.
Yeah.
He is a machine right now. And, I mean, if anybody's going to get some work on him, it's Hopkins. But
yeah, but Hopkins is not the kind of guy that beats him. And I guess and that's the point I was trying to make because it's somebody who can get deep and get lucky and get behind him generally.
Yeah.
And Texans don't have that.
Nope.
And I think honestly, I think they're up against it this weekend, but we'll talk more about that later when we get into the gambling aspects of things. Okay, 713-780-ESPN. So it says the Braves are demanding a major league pitching from the Mets for Simmons, so McCullers was probably on their list. It's possible.
Maybe so. Even then, as much as I like McCullers, is he untouchable for Freddie Freeman?
I don't know that I would trade that guy. I think he's. I mean, you'd have to.
Here's where I don't trade Lance McCullers. If you think that he is a number one top of the rotation guy,
I think he has that kind of stuff. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I really do, and I've been saying that since they brought him up.
Okay. Well, if that's what you think, I don't blame you for not wanting to deal him.
Yeah, I honestly think that is a guy who. Yeah, and you never know until they actually do it. But I think that's a guy with ace potential, ace stuff. We saw flashes of that. We saw what he could do at times. And plus he's 21 years old. I mean, that's a guy who's going to be an ace for you for a long time. So I'm not saying there's no one I would trade him for, but that's a guy that is pretty close to untouchable in my book because those guys don't grow on trees.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Okay, Django says, I believe it was Kyle Tucker, Mark Appel, A.J. Reed, and another player.
I would have done that yesterday.
Yeah, I would have probably done that too. because
I wouldn't have even hesitated.
Well, I mean, it depends on the other player. If the other player is Lance McCullers, no.
Right.
But, yeah, okay, so, I mean, I know that I mean, Appel to me, I almost think he's a guy you want to sell now.
No doubt.
Because if you can get...
Because is he ever going to live up to what we thought he was going to be?
He might eventually. He got better at the end of last year, but wasn't he supposed to be a little more polished and a lot more ready than a lot of these guys? I mean, shouldn't he have been here before Lance McCullers, theoretically, after pitching in college?
Yeah.
But if you were to include him, that wouldn't bother me. And if you're getting Freeman, you don't need A.J. Reed.
Right.
You're getting an A.J. Reed that's already major league ready. And, okay, Kyle Tucker's a high school outfielder who you like.
Yeah, and he's a high school outfielder, which means he's probably 5 years at best from being in the majors.
Yeah.
And you've got a team that you're building around, and you want to go.
Thank you, 979. It was Allen Robinson. That's what it was.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know where I got that confused. I'm old and I drink a lot. But, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Get some more of your tweets, more of your texts. A lot more to get to. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975. To figure it out, but I did it, and I'm the only one underneath the sun who didn't get it. I get it.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 975. Listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. So, speaking of the Bills, you see Stephon Gilmore says the Bills have a plan to eliminate Rob Gronkowski.
No.
Didn't they say that before the first game? Doesn't everybody always kind of have a plan to get rid of, take Gronk out, and it never works?
You know what? You know what happened that I liked. They talked to Rex Ryan. He was talking about how the Patriots want to embarrass him and run him out of the league, which is probably true. But Rex Ryan also admitted we have no chance of winning this division. We're playing for a wild card. The Patriots they're not going to just drop four games along the way. They're too good for that. I like that. You know, I like a guy who's not like, oh, we're still in the mix. We're, you know, knowing damn well you're not in the mix.
Yeah, that's what they – Rex is full of bluster, and he's – there are a lot of things about him where you'd say, really, Rex? But I admire when he comes out and says stuff like that. Because the reality is, yeah, the Patriots aren't coming back to earth like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get in the wild card and you take your chances. You get one shot at him. Hell, you almost beat him the first time. And – maybe you get him in the playoffs. He's done that before with the Jets. Remember that one year where they got blown out by the Patriots? They meant to get in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And they came back and won. So, I'm interested to see how that goes. I am not at all interested in Titans-Jaguars, I'm not going to lie. Other than the uniforms.
Yeah.
I want to see the multicolored uniforms. I want to see if they're as hideous as I think they're going to be.
I want to bet the
monochromatic uniforms.
I want to bet the Titans, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
Really?
I don't have a good feel for this game, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm probably not playing anything tonight except for poker. I may go mess around with some horse races tonight. But
good call.
I'm not too crazy about any of the sports bets tonight.
And you've got the hot hand, Fred.
I do, and I feel like I'm playing very well, and I also feel like I'm due to get some cards.
That would have been nice.
Because
that would have been nice today.
Yeah, honestly,
the guy who won that tournament was so awful.
Yeah,
but his cards were just ridiculous. I mean,
I managed to dodge him with his luck box hits the entire time, and then when we got the heads up, and he had 90% of the chips at the table at one point when we got the heads up, and then doubled up off of him once, and then got in with Jack 10 against Queen 3 or something that he had, and had a jack and a flush draw on the board, and he ran it out into a straight on me, which, you know, oh well. But if I win that, chip stacks are even, and
yeah,
it's over from there. But, you know, I honestly thought that if I could just get that, I would be fine. But I'll take second, man. First tournament of the
– not a bad deal.
The trip, and I really was card dead the entire way and just got enough chips to hang around. Got to the final table, stayed out of trouble, and let those guys knock each other out and just creep up the board, man.
There was a hand maybe 20 or 30 minutes into the tournament where four guys were all in.
Yeah. And this luck box
had, one guy had ace-queen.
That was the best hand.
Yeah, that was the best hand.
Four-way all-in, the best hand was an ace-queen.
One was,
and he was fourth guy in with that too.
One was
way.
Queen 10, and that's the hand that won.
One, yeah.
One was a like a Jack 7.
Yeah, Jack 7 was one.
And
of
I think
them.
There was like a 10-6 or something. I mean, it was just something. It was
stupid.
Or 9-6 maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, just ridiculous. And all these, none of them were like, I mean, it's 20 minutes in the tournament. No one's down to like their last chip.
Right.
These guys are just like, you know what? Let's gamble.
Yeah.
The guy who wins that hand with Queen 10 ends up winning the whole tournament.
Yeah, because he kept doing that. And apparently when he got to the other table, he was knocking guys out with ace five versus ace king. Uh-huh. He hit the five. And so, you know what? That's the kind of guy I hated when he left our table, because I wanted his chips at some point. But then when I get the final table and I don't have that many chips, the strategy changes. And what you try to do is just sort of, I just wanted to get heads up and take my chances. And I came real close to evening up the stacks. And if that happens, I feel like I'm going to win. But you know what? It's fine. I mean, I'll take second. And I like the way I'm playing. And if I'm playing like this and I start hitting some cards,
look out.
I'm going to cash a lot this week.
Did you see Robert E. Lee High School in San Antonio? They're petitioning to change the name of the school. That's pretty.
I did not see that, but it's probably a good idea.
It's pretty standard these days. What's your best guess on what they're going with?
In San Antonio?
Yeah.
Popovich High.
Greg Popovich High School.
I like it. I like it.
Greg Popovich High School is what they're hoping to change the name to. I think it's funny, but. I mean, listen, sometimes these things are named after – a lot of these high schools, like in Houston, are named after, like, high school coaches from back in the days. I don't see why they couldn't name one after Greg Popovich.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's better than some of these.
District Director of Communications said, "We're aware of the petitions," he said, "but it would be premature to discuss a specific name at this point. The school board has not even discussed whether there should be a new name. Issues on the topic on the agenda for December 7th, but petitions do not typically factor into naming schools." So, we'll see.
Interesting. I think it's better than some of these politicians.
I'm with you.
So, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it, San Antonio. In fact, I support this.
Okay.
If anybody's going to get a high school named after him, shouldn't it be Cranky Old Popovich?
Or Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I don't know. Duncan and some of the off-court stuff would concern me, that if more of it ever came out about what was going on with his ex and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I Popovich, he's just he don't give a bleep.
He's just a basketball coach.
Yeah, I don't think – if that guy has a skeleton in his closet, well, maybe it's a – you know. I don't know.
If he's got a skeleton in his closet, it's probably a human skeleton.
Yeah, it probably is from someone that he didn't like. But
exactly.
I can't imagine that you're ever going to find out anything on Popovich. But I think that's cool. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. Or you can, of course, tweet us and use Facebook. And are they about to go start singing over there again?
Shocking news, Bryce Harper named NL MVP.
Okay. So I think you said that was a dead mortal lock.
I did, and I was right.
Yeah. Somebody asked, would Popovich's high school mascot be the Honey Badger?
They said the Falcons was what they would go with because he's an Air Force guy.
Yeah.
And okay. I knew you would like that too.
I would like that too. Yeah. I think Fowler High School, the Fowler High School Falcons would be good. Somebody should do that.
All right.
I'm no worse than some of these people who have been named at high schools named after him. But did you see Olivia Munn is
she's catching some blame, catching some
heat,
huh?
Well, she's catching some blame, but she's also kind of fighting back because apparently ESPN's, I don't know, do you know Rob Domofsky? Are you familiar with Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com?
No.
He put together a list of five potential reasons for Aaron Rodgers' struggles.
Okay.
One of them, you know, doesn't have Jordy Nelson. That makes sense. Teams are no longer jumping offside to give Rodgers free plays. Mike McCarthy isn't calling the plays this season. Rodgers may be injured. He's on the injury report this week. How about this one? Something is going on with his personal life. That apparently struck a nerve. And Olivia Munn says she was at the Lions reporter said they saw her at Lambeau Field on Sunday. Sometimes it's easy to forget that professional athletes have lives away from the field. You never know what could be going on in their personal lives. She tweets, playing it fast and loose with the journalism, at Rob Domofsky. Your professional skills are lacking. You must be having personal problems at home.
Well, at least she got back at him.
Yeah, she says, told by another Twitter user not to feed the trolls, which, hey, it's fun to feed the trolls. The trolls can have their comments. It's not them I'm calling out. It's the journalists. So,
journalists be trolls?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course they can.
I mean, Woody Page is technically a – not Woody Page. Who am I thinking of? Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless are technically journalists.
See,
Woody Page, too.
Theoretically, yeah.
Although, was Woody Page retired?
No, he still does that show.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that show was still on, the Around the Horn show.
Yeah, he still does that.
I
see him every now and then, like when I'm at a bar and it happens to be on.
It was unanimous, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Bryce Harper.
Shocker.
Like I said, that's what it should be, unanimous. So,
yeah.
Good for them for getting one right.
John, what was that you were telling me, sir? Oh, of course. Thank you. Gotta tell you, the only negative about being in Las Vegas is I don't get to sleep on my mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. And I'll tell you what, man, right now, forget about a Black Friday. Texas Mattress Makers, it's Black November. You're going to get 40% savings off select mattresses and all standard sizes. A custom-fitted queen size usually costs you $6.99. During Black November, $2.99. Top-of-the-line twin size was $4.99, now $2.49. A custom king size, $8.99, now just $3.99. So at Texas Mattress Makers, you are going to save money regardless, because you get factory prices, they make the beds and sell them right there, and they custom fit them made for your body. And you could go to a retail store, pay a whole bunch of money. You're not going to get custom fitted. You're not going to get factory prices, and you're not going to get the quality that goes in to what they do at Texas Mattress Makers, because I've seen how they make these. Yuval is an expert. The people who work there all know everything about these mattresses, so they're going to put you on the best sleep. And during November, they're going to save you even more money than ever. 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Tell them I sent you. They love taking care of the Blitzers. They will do you a solid, man. TexasMattressMakers.com. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price. Tell them Fred sent you. TexasMattressMakers.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez and Miguel Cotto fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You know what that music means? This time every Thursday. Time to chat with our good friend Christopher Harris, fantasy football expert who runs harrisfootball.com. You can follow Chris on Twitter at harrisfootball. So, yes, even while in Las Vegas, we have to talk to our buddy Christopher. What's going on, Mr. Harris?
I am psyched for you guys. This is great, talking to you in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, believe me, we're taking advantage of it. So somebody asked me this earlier. We talked about it a little bit, but how valuable is the Jets defense in your mind this week, considering they're playing a Texans offense that's going to have T.J. Yates at starting quarterback and really doesn't seem to have a lot of weapons?
Well, you know, I would think pretty valuable, but I didn't go overboard when I ranked them. I ranked them ninth among all fantasy defense this week, and you know, this comes down to mostly they themselves haven't scored very well. I would have expected them to have a better game against Tyrod Taylor at home last week, and they didn't. And I would have expected them to be okay on the road against Oakland before that. And, man, I think they had negative fantasy points on that day. So, obviously, I'm with you. You know, the Texans offense doesn't feel like a well-oiled machine right now. But, you know, I think they're startable, but I didn't go like, you know, top one or two.
What do you think of these two defenses tonight? And while we're at it, what do you think of these two quarterbacks tonight? If you're streaming quarterbacks or defenses, do you think that there's anything to look at on Tennessee or Jacksonville?
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback you want to look at is Blake Bortles. And he might not even be a streamer now. He might be, you know, have fooled enough people where he's on most, you know, he's owned in most leagues. But I think if he's available in yours, he's usable. Tennessee, on tape for me, has been pretty good against the run lately. Still a little shaky against the pass. And let's face it, nobody's slowing down those receivers. You know, Bortles' problem is I just do think that blow-up bad games are coming for him because he just makes a lot of mistakes, but he winds up covering up for it. It's like every week he sort of does that thing where he saves you at the end, either, you know, in massive comeback mode or in massive, you know, we're getting out, blown out mode. And that's the reason why I'm kind of with your implication, which is why I wouldn't mind streaming either of these defenses. I think I prefer Jacksonville by a little bit, even though I think Tennessee's personnel and coaching might be a little bit better. But it's in Jacksonville. I think I fear the Jacksonville skill position guys maybe a little bit more than I do Tennessee skill guys. But I think I'd be okay streaming either defense. And then even Mariota, you know, I'm impressed. I think development-wise, he's right where he needs to be. But again, you know, does he have the weapons? And do they let him run enough? You know, to this point, they really haven't.
What do you do with Tony Romo at this stage?
I'm starting him. I'll tell you what. If I've been holding on this long, you know, it's funny. I on the podcast I had, I do like a ranking show every week and ask everybody questions on Twitter and, you know, try to answer the ones about the players that are asked most about. And Romo was certainly one of them this week. And I had some people make some great points, which is, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, similar type situation. We got so excited that they were getting the band back together in Pittsburgh. And that first week back, he really kind of laid an egg, didn't play well. You know, and you could account that, you could maybe say that was about rust. Maybe Romo has some rust too, and maybe you want to make the point, listen, if you got a good team, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's see Romo do it 1 week, and then we'll, you know what, I feel like he's going to be good right away. The Miami matchup doesn't scare me. Play good players, and I think he's a really good player.
How does the, you know, and obviously we talked last week about the Deion Lewis injury and how it affects the Patriots' distribution. How does the Edelman injury affect their passing game's distribution? I mean, at this point, would you rather own LaFell or Amendola? Because it seems to me Amendola may be their number one go-to guy for a little while.
It's a great question, and I'm going to be as evasive as I was last week with running backs because it's the Patriots, and we just don't know. As you know, I'm sitting in Massachusetts. I get bombarded with the media all day long, you know, all week long, and it's just a bunch of guesses because the Patriots aren't going to tell anyone. Here's what I see, you know, when I actually watch them play, which is, you know, I think Amendola does a decent Julian Edelman impersonation. Amendola might be a little bit faster, a little bit better of a downfield threat. Edelman's certainly quicker coming out of breaks, and in the Patriots offense, that Wes Welker role, that running an option route, you know, essentially reacting to how the defense plays you and doing the quick twitch thing where you go one way or the other and Brady just sort of knows where you're going, and that preternatural quickness thing. I'm not sure Amendola has that 100%, but he's quick. You know, my prediction would be Amendola is going to be the most highly targeted receiver in that offense. I think LaFell's very usable as well. Maybe Keyshawn Martin, you know, the Texans' old friend. He's got a pulled hamstring right now, but it's possible he gets involved when he's healthy. But I'll tell you, my biggest worry about Amendola is if I'm right and if he's the guy, you know, what do we see Julian Edelman do? Go over the middle and just take shots and bounce right back up again. And for Amendola, I'm not trying to say he's not a tough guy because I think all NFL players are tough guys, but we've seen him break his collarbone twice. We've seen him be injured a lot, and I wonder whether his body would just hold up to that pounding. For this week, I rated him pretty close, but I did put Amendola a little bit higher above LaFell.
When it comes to Aaron Rodgers, should people just relax, or is there a reason to start getting a little bit concerned about him?
I see what you did there. You know, it's funny. I'm literally sitting here watching tape on the Packers-Lions game right when you guys called. And I'm writing a column tomorrow about, like, what's wrong with the Packers passing game. And, like everything, I think it's a complicated equation. I think the offensive line has more breakdowns than we're used to seeing. And it's not always the same guy. It's just, like, mistakes get made and Rodgers gets too much pressure in places where he didn't previously. I think he's pressing. He's trying to make too many big plays and, you know, holding on the ball a little longer than he needs to and not taking, you know, James Jones will be one-on-one and he just doesn't want to throw it to him. You know, he would rather throw it to Devontae Adams a bunch or even Randall Cobb when he's double covered. You know, the fact is that even in the stupid Lions game last week where they didn't play well and obviously lost a game they should have won, his numbers were fine. Against Carolina in a comeback effort, his numbers were fine. I think Rodgers relax. We don't worry about for fantasy, but it is worth worrying about everyone else. You know, Randall Cobb, I am officially worried, and he's outside my top 20 receivers for the week this week for the first time all season because the defenses are paying a lot of attention to him, and he's not getting open, and I do think there's cause for concern there.
All right. One more before we let you go here is Sharkhondrick West. Is this guy, are you buying on this and that he's a legitimate number one option now at running back?
You know, maybe not every week. I think against the Chargers, you can really make a good case. The workload has been terrific for West. You know, he's replacing the injured Jamal Charles in Kansas City, and he's their starting running back. And at first, maybe there was a concern that some other running back would be involved. Not really. You know, Spencer Ware gets on the field a little bit, but otherwise it's all West. And I think he's a good player. I think he benefits from a very conservative offense that wants to drive, you know, have 20 play drives and score one-yard touchdowns. I think there are going to be some games down the road where he's not quite the star he's been, and I'm not ready to call him skills-wise anything like an elite player, but this week against the Chargers, he's inside my top 10.
Jeremy Langford's obviously been a really good fill-in for Matt Forte, maybe to the point where when Matt Forte comes back, there he's got a different role in the offense. Do you expect him to take back that number one spot, or do you think it's a totally different-looking rotation when Matt Forte does return?
Obviously, I'm guessing. Everyone's guessing. And it does, you know, we haven't seen Forte practice yet. I think there's still a chance he plays this week, but, you know, what would the mix be? I would be guessing if I said I really knew. I mean, Langford's, that was a great performance against a really good run defense last week, and it deserves to be noticed and recognized. I know if I were the Bears, I would just play Matt Forte. If I think I'm in the wild card race and, you know, I want to win a bunch of games in a row, Matt Forte is one of the best running backs in the NFL. Langford's a nice story. Langford might be the guy next year. You know, if it were me, I'd play Forte if I were the Bears. If I'm a fantasy owner with Forte and or Langford, would I maybe wait a week if I could? I guess I might. I ranked Forte as though he were, you know, somebody I wanted to start, and Langford as more of a 8 to 10 touches guy, you know, over the course of the game. But listen, 8 to 10 touches is, in today's NFL isn't terrible. If you flex Langford, I would be okay with that if Forte is active. But listen, I could be so wrong. I mean, Forte's a free agent at the end of the year. The Bears could decide they're done with him. They could decide Langford's future. Let's ride him. I don't think that's the way it goes, but if it did, I wouldn't be shocked.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. And Christopher, tell them a little bit about harrisfootball.com and the great podcast you do every day.
Well, if you want, you know, football talk of this ilk, but in, you know, much longer, more boring form, rather than the punchy 5-minute format, definitely go to harrisfootball.com. I have a podcast every weekday. It's about 45 minutes. I have a guest on there every day, and we talk about what we see on film and waiver ads, and somehow we've gotten listeners now sending us songs. We actually have several folks sending us, like, karaoke songs about the show and about fantasy football who live in Houston. So I'm sure they're listeners to the show as well. It's been a super fun year.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. Joins us every week, talks a little fantasy football. Christopher, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate the time, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Awesome. Enjoy Vegas, guys. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, I guess.
We'll see.
We'll do way worse than you do, I promise.
Unless you're going to shave yourself and cover yourself in Jello, and never mind. I'm not going to go there. All right, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, time for a little Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day action. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Join us for lunch tomorrow. We're at Wingstop in Pasadena on Southmore and Shaver from 12:30 until 1:30. Pick up some wings, plus try your luck to win tickets, station gear, or Wingstop gift cards. Wingstop is the preferred wings of ESPN 97.5. Also, want to remind you that we're live from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, where two of boxing's biggest superstars, Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez, will collide in a mega fight for the middleweight world championship. Watch the finale of HBO's 24/7 Cotto Canelo tonight at 11 Eastern and Pacific. 10 o'clock Central, of course. And don't miss Cotto vs. Canelo live on pay-per-view Saturday, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific. All right, time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Okay, we go to Florida, of course.
Of course.
Where even the mayors tend to get in trouble. The Miami-Dade Commission on Ethics and Public Trust has sued Hialeah Mayor Carlos Hernandez. Hernandez had a $4,000 fine,
all right,
and he decided to pay it, which I don't know why you get sued if you decide to pay it. Well, here's why. He used 28 buckets of pennies and nickels. They also doubled the fine on him, saying that he intentionally broke its regulations by sending 360,000 coins, even though he knew the panel only accepted checks. Now, he also sent some television crews in an attempt to pay the fine in disregard of the requirement that it be paid by check. His ploy was deemed commercially unreasonable and contemptuous and therefore rejected. A small claims complaint was filed in county court. A hearing was set for December 9 to address the mayor's noncompliance.
I saw there was something a little while ago. Some guy had to pay a fine, and he thought it was BS. So he, whatever the fine was, it was like $125.
Right.
He, like, origami folded 125 $1 bills into little pigs and sent it in a donut box.
That's pretty cool. Well, I just wonder if this mayor, though, is the guy who's in front of you at the Walgreens paying with pennies.
I have a feeling this was intentional.
I think it was, but I wonder if he doesn't. Who carries that many pennies around anyway?
No idea. I don't.
Where do you get those?
You have to, like, 20, go ask for pennies.
28 buckets of pennies.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
You got to be on the lookout, like, doing favors, like, meeting people. Hey, man, you got some pennies I can buy off you?
Yeah, I'm going to trade you some weed for a few pennies here.
I'm pretty sure he probably had to trade, like, dollars for pennies.
Oh, okay.
Would be my guess.
I don't know why you'd make that assumption. We don't know the man.
He may have traded nickels for pennies.
I'm not sure why he was fined in the first place.
Maybe he found a guy who was really into nickels.
Well, anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we will we'll have... What does that sound?
Who knows? They're always doing construction at these places.
Something
Vegas
going.
Is always under construction. That's one thing I've come to learn.
I have just learned an unfortunate lesson, though. Trying to log in to sign up for my FanDuel for the
FanDuel in Vegas.
No, I got the message that I'm in a restricted area.
Sorry, bro.
So I'll have to wait till I get back Saturday to sign up for my FanDuel.com/Fowler League. My own league I can't sign up for because I'm in Nevada. But I'm not going to complain because I'm in Nevada. All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. I'm really tempted to take Central Florida plus 14.5 tonight against East Carolina.
Okay.
I am also tempted to take Cincinnati minus 2.5 tomorrow at South Florida. Both those teams are 6-4. South Florida's coming off its biggest win. Cincinnati is better than South Florida.
Yeah.
And their 6-4 is a lot more impressive than South Florida's. So I'm looking at that.
What's the number on that?
I'm seeing Cincinnati minus 2.5.
Okay.
So inside a field goal, got to feel pretty good about Cincinnati there. Haven't had a chance to look too deep into the rest of it, but that's...
Let me tell you something that I noticed today. It is easier to get lines. Like, you come out here to Vegas, and there's something about going to the sports book and putting down some cash.
Yeah.
It's more fun and it feels more real than pushing your buttons on your website.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, we were walking over here and I was like, let me stop off and make this bet in the sports book. Line wasn't even available here, and I'm like, why is there lines that are available online? But I'm not talking like some exotics. I'm talking about a college basketball total in a game that one of the two teams is a Pac-12 team.
Right.
So the Rice-Oregon State game. I wanted to bet the total in that game. No total available on the board. What is going on with that? Why are they not why is not everything available out here? This is Vegas, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I know that the website, so, I mean, it's just a different animal. And because they're technically not legal, I guess they can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's limits on what they can post out here. I'm sure there are because everything's regulated. But it is kind of disappointing sometimes to come in and see things that you're used to seeing online.
Right.
That you can go right to. And they're not available here.
Well, I am with you on Cincinnati tomorrow. I am also going to be on Boise tomorrow as an 11-point favorite over Air Force.
At Boise. Well, Air Force is they're a much better team this year, but I think you're right on that one.
This is called buying low,
yeah,
on Boise, who
exactly
just lost to New Mexico inexplicably.
Yeah.
Something tells me they're going to come back. They're going to come back looking for blood.
I'm intrigued by Memphis Temple, in that Memphis a 1-point favorite at Temple, and I might be on the buy low with Temple, except you'd kind of be buying low on Memphis too.
Yeah.
So I'm really intrigued by that game, more just from an interest standpoint. But anyway, hey, you want to watch the games? You want to watch your Rockets? And you're up north. Know what? The best place to go is Two Below's. Love those guys. Love Chip and his team. They do a fantastic job. And right now during football season, you can go watch all your college teams. Go watch all your NFL. You can go out there on Monday nights and catch Monday night football. You can go out there tonight and catch Thursday night football. And the great thing about it, you go out there, you find yourself a seat. You'll be able to watch that Titans-Jags game. You'll be able to watch the college football as well. They've got plenty of TVs, and they're all set up where you can see it. And it just is one of those places that will feel like a home away from home. Lots of regulars, lots of people who love to go there all the time, and you're going to fit right in with them because they're great people. A lot of the Blitzers go there. Give it a try. And the food is fantastic. There's seriously nothing on the menu that isn't great. And, I mean, this isn't your bar food type atmosphere. They have really worked hard to get you food that's going to be fantastic while you're there. It's also a great place for the whole family. We love Tupelo's. We're out there all the time, and I'm telling you, it's the kind of place that you can make your neighborhood bar, your home away from home. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. Tell them we sent you. Tupelo's, tupelo's.com.